joy to be with you. It would be a joy to be with you if I was preaching a graduation without my daughters in it. But how much more of a joy it is to be speaking a graduation where both of my daughters are graduating, Jenna and Alyssa, today. And I want to say publicly to my family, I love you. And I thank God that He put you in my life. You're the greatest gifts in my life, besides the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank the Lord for each of you today. I have read some funny things about graduations, things that I hope don't happen today. One I read is a graduate who titled this little story, Their Wake-Up Call. I fell asleep while they were calling names and totally missed my name being called at my graduation. My classmates next to me simply got up and did not disturb my rest. If that happens to the graduates today and to one next to you, please don't do that. Please wake them up, okay? And I'm going to try not to put you all asleep this afternoon. I know we're dealing with an afternoon after people have eaten lunch. A number of years ago, I was at a high school graduation in our local town of Red Lion. I was out on a football field, and we were up in stands, and they got a chorus to sing, like we just had a chorus sing here, except they had them up on this pedestal, these stands, and they walked up, and just about as the last person walked up, somebody had played a prank, and that whole portable stand collapsed. And so I was looking for stands today. I don't see any stands. I think we're safe. Somebody else said, I threw up at my graduation. And one of his classmates said, I had a few splatters of whatever came out on my shoes as I walked up to get my diploma. I hope that doesn't happen today to anybody. I hope no graduates are sick today. Hopefully none of these things happen. But usually funny things happen in big events like this. And if it happens, something like that, just chalk it up to a memory. You'll remember your graduation day a little bit more. You know, graduation is tough for adults. They go to the ceremony as parents, and they come home as contemporaries. After 22, 23 years of child raising, they are unemployed. And for us, we are in the empty nest stage of life. It seems as though yesterday we were working with twos and threes and fours and five-year-olds about sitting in church and being still. And today, my children are graduating, the other two children are graduating here from college and going into adult life, making strides in that direction. On a serious note, it is a joy for me to be with you on this very special day of celebration, not just for my daughters, but for every graduate, high school graduate, and college graduate today. It is representation of parents' training and years of investing and the diligent work of students to finish your course. Parents, it is a day to rejoice in God's work in your family's life, to see one of your children close a chapter in order to open a new chapter. Today is a great day to bring God glory and honor for the way in which He made each graduate. Every graduate here is made uniquely by God. They're all different. God made them all different. And God has a different plan for each one. And yet that plan in the overall scope of eternity is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be made a certain way to do that. God uses varieties of personalities and varieties of gifts and varieties of backgrounds and varieties of talents and training that people have received to bring Himself glory. And all of the graduates here today are made differently, but they're made in the image of God. And for that, we can give God glory. Thomas Edison said, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. I am thankful for each high school graduate today and each college graduate who took advantage of the opportunities to learn and to study and to grow and put the necessary work in to finish your course. As parents of two graduates today, my wife and I would like to thank Fairhaven Baptist Church and College and all the teachers and staff that have loved and invested and cared for and befriended and prayed for my daughters. Some of you are from here and you never go and drop your daughter off someplace that you've raised for 18 years or 19 years or 17 years and you've loved and you've shepherded and you've protected and you've hugged every night and you've invested in and built all kinds of relationship with and memories, and then you take them 10 hours away and, well, Pastor Mitchell, here you go. That's a fearful and challenging thing as a parent. And when we did that, I drove away and I was turning to them and commending them to God's grace, but I was also entrusting them to the church and the staff and the teachers, the faculty here. And you know what? 4 years and 2 years later, I can say they've been blessed to be here. And I want to thank you for that. May I remind you this afternoon that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and ye do minister. I thank you for that today. Graduation is the end of a chapter of life, but it's also the beginning of another chapter. Maybe graduates over the past number of months, as a high school graduate or as a college graduate, you have fielded questions like this. What are your future plans? You almost feel like everybody expects for you to have the next 40 years of your life planned. Or where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or what do you see yourself doing over the next couple of years? For some of you, that path may be quite clear for the next year or two or four. Maybe you're working a job, or maybe you got a teaching position somewhere in a Christian school, or maybe you're going to help a pastor at a local church. But beyond that, you may not know. Most your age don't know and can't tell everybody what you're going to be doing 10 years from now. But may I give you this comfort from Psalm 32? Jesus said, I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Adrian Rogers, that great preacher of the past, said this: if you woke up this morning and you are still here, then God has a plan for your life. And God has a plan, graduates, for your life. If you were to attend a secular college graduation or high school graduation, you may hear a graduation speech by somebody that has PhDs behind their name that says something like this: follow your heart, or you can do anything that you put your mind to. Or you may hear a speaker say, live life to the fullest. But that's about me. You see, we're at a Christian graduation. And a Christian graduation isn't focused on the horizontal relationships of life, nor on my life. It is centered on God. And God alone. You see, I want to preach a message for the graduates, and the rest of you are welcome to tune in this afternoon. I want to preach a message with four short words in the title. It is my hope, graduates, that you will write these words on the table of your heart. It's my prayer that you will keep these four words in the middle of your heart. For you, if you live according to the truth that I'm going to preach today, and you find these four words as your motivation for life, it will keep you in spiritual health, and it will keep your soul healthy before the Lord. It will bring God's favor about your neck. It will help you to walk safely and not stumble in your future. This afternoon, I want to preach a message entitled, He Alone is Worthy. He alone is worthy. In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, there's that great verse in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. The spiritual principle in this text is a powerful principle to guide your life by. He alone is worthy. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Here the Scripture reveals to us that Jesus Christ is worthy of glory and honor and power. When we study the word worthy in the Scriptures, we find the word worthy, first of all, means to be deserving of. To be deserving of. Worthiness, also attached to the word worship, is to ascribe worth-ship to someone. It is the decision, not only is it mean to be deserving of, but it also means a decision to recognize that the Lord is worthy of all in my life. Maybe the greatest ridiculousness, if I could form that word today, of considering someone worthy of something is the pay that professional athletes get. In my backyard of Baltimore, Maryland, we have the Baltimore Ravens professional football team, and they were forecasted to go to the Super Bowl and win it all this year. Their quarterback is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson makes, on an average, $81 million a year. Because the owner of the Baltimore Ravens says he's worthy of that. That's why. It's hard for me to say that anybody's worth $81 million a year. He works about 6 months out of the year. And if you calculate and divide that by the number of days, let's just put it at 180 days, he makes $450,000 a day. Now, if any of you end up in professional sports and make $1 million or more, would you remember who preached your graduation? $81 million a year. Because somebody says Lamar Jackson is worthy of it. It doesn't seem like any human being deserves that kind of pay. There's that side of being worthy. And then in the Scriptures, the Bible teaches us that there are some who are worthy of death. I looked up the longest sentence in history that somebody has received for a crime that they've done. In 1989, there was a lady named Chamoy Thipiaso. She defrauded 16,000 people out of $301 million. She was sentenced to a whopping 141,078 years in prison, making it the longest sentence of anybody in the world. That was that judge or jury's decision of what this lady was worthy of. But there was another judge and law over in Thailand that looked at her case and her fraud that she committed and said that the maximum sentence for doing something like that is 20 years. It was reduced to 2 years. And she was released in 1993. Because on one side, somebody said, she's worthy of 141,078 years. And another judge said, she's worthy of 20 years. And when her case was up for review, another judge said, she's worthy of 2 years. And she ought to be able to get out. You see, the sad thing about all of that is that really, The person is their own judge when it comes to earthly things about what is worthy. How many of you have ever been to an auction? Auction? Anybody been to an auction? I'm not an auctioneer. I'm not going to imitate an auctioneer today. But at an auction, something comes up for bidding. And there are some people there that they're ready for the next item to come. That auction item means nothing to them. It has no worth. There are some people, they came for the auction to bid on that item. And in their mind, they have a value of what they're willing to pay for that item. There are others at the auction that they come, and that item, they're willing to pay whatever. They don't even have a limit in their mind because they want that item. Everybody that shows up at the auction looks at what each item is with different worth. But I want you to understand something about Jesus Christ. The Bible says He is worthy. That means for every believer under the sound of my voice today, whether by live stream or you're here in the auditorium that I'm speaking in, you had better agree with God that He is worthy. He's worthy. In the Bible says that the laborer is worthy of his reward. But in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, it says, "Thou art worthy." In Revelation chapter 5, as you read Revelation chapter 5, we're at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, there's a strong angel in heaven. The book of seals is about to be loosed. And the first seven judgments are about to be poured out on this earth. And the strong angel in heaven asked this question, "Who is worthy to open the book?" And the conclusion in heaven is, there's no man in heaven, there's no man in earth, there's no man under the earth that is able to open the book, but there is one, and that one is the Lamb that was slain. That's Jesus Christ. And so at the end of that discussion in Revelation chapter 5, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation." And so, I want to give you graduates today some motivations to remember in your life to bring you and keep bringing you back to the fact that your life is worthy to give to Christ, to sell out to God's will, because He is worthy. We know that He's worthy of praise in Psalm 18, verse number 3. It says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." You say, "Preacher, why is He worthy of my life? Why should He have from me the willingness to give my life, even if it meant death for Him?" Why is Christ worthy of that? Number one, He's Creator. He's Creator. The Bible says in our text, Revelation chapter 4, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things." My friend, did you know that Jesus Christ meets the greatest needs in every human being's life? Do you understand you have breath from God today? He created you. That's why He's worthy of your surrender and your life. He's worthy because He's Creator. But could I say this? He's also worthy because He's Sustainer. He's Sustainer. We have some older folks in the building today. I see Brother Johnson down here who's given his life to the mission field up in years. And you know what? All those years, every day that he woke up and every minute of every day, God has sustained him. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power." Do you understand that the laws of gravity today and the laws of thermodynamics and the laws that hold our universe together are upheld by the person and the power of Jesus Christ? That's why He's worthy. Young people, that's why He's worthy of your life. He's the only sinless sacrifice. You see, he offered his own life up as a sacrifice for your sin, according to Hebrews chapter 7. And that's why he's worthy. Young people, don't get caught in the trap of looking at a ministry or looking at your opportunities as to what looks best on paper for you. Make sure you look at life through the lens that, Lord, I am willing to bring pleasure to you, whatever it takes, because you are worthy. When it gets tough in your life, and maybe in your marriage someday, and maybe in your ministry someday, and maybe within your family someday, you remember, God, I've got to continue to do right and be faithful unto you, because God, you alone are worthy. You're my sustainer. You're my creator. You're my sinless sacrifice. You're my savior. My friend, you may be here. You may not come from a religious background, or you may, but you may never realize that Jesus is the one and only savior that died for you, can take away your sin, forgive your sin, and give you a home in heaven. The Bible explains Jesus as savior. For the Bible says, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's the suffering servant. He's the shepherd of your soul. He's the sovereign king, where in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why he's worthy. That's why he's worthy. You say, preacher, I understand the meaning of worthy. What is the measure then of Christ being worthy, graduate, in your life? I would say, because he is worthy of your fellowship. Your fellowship. You can follow a lot of people in life. You can set your gate to go down a lot of roads following different people. But he is worthy of your fellowship. When you're tempted to give up on something that you've been taught, remember, he's worthy. When you feel the pull of the world to adapt to the culture, remember, he's worthy. When it's time for you to go to the mission field and leave your family behind, I want you to remember, he is worthy. He is worthy. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Listen, I would preach, as Pastor Allison preached the other night, discipleship costs everything. But he is worthy of that. He's worthy of my fellowship. Can I say this? He's worthy of your fellowship. Dear graduate, life will be full, as I spoke to the alumni this week. But oh, Jesus deserves your daily fellowship. Because of all that he is, he deserves your fellowship. John wrote, for the life was manifested, speaking of Christ, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we testify of it, and we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, or Jesus came down to manifest himself unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, fellowship is participation with. It's communion with. It's hard to have fellowship without like-mindedness. Graduates, could I speak to your hearts on this great day in your life? There will be times where your mind doesn't line up with God's mind. And when you're living like that, you have broken fellowship. It is vital that you stay in the Word of God and keep your mind and your heart aligned with God's mind and God's heart. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, and by the way, he was speaking to the church. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, fellowship with him, commune with him, and he with me. You see, Jesus is not only worthy of your fellowship, he's worthy of your fellowship. And then I want to remind you that he's worthy of your faithfulness. He's worthy of your faithfulness. Jesus was faithful to finish the course. We're talking about finishing the course. He was faithful to finish the course. To finish the course of what, preacher? I'm talking about to finish the course of the crucifixion. And because he finished the course of the crucifixion, we ought to understand that he is worthy of our faithfulness. Listen, Bible college students. Listen, young people that have grown up in good churches. Listen, those of you that are here today and you've had good Bible training and somebody taught you to be faithful. Don't you give up your faithfulness. And don't you do it for somebody else. You realize he's worthy. Don't skip church. Be faithful in your attitude toward God. Be faithful in your walking with God. Be faithful in your stewardship of your time and talents and treasure. Young people, be faithful in protecting your purity. You know Jesus is pure, and he's worthy of you protecting your purity as a believer. He's worthy of your faithfulness, but he's also worthy of your fervency. Your fervency. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. When you're tempted to do less than your best in your local church ministry or your job in the community, remember, he alone is worthy. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The strong desire to travel the world is called wanderlust. It's a German word that literally means desire. For wondering. Wanderlust may be driven by the desire to escape and leave behind depressive feelings of guilt or an intense urge for self-development by experiencing the unknown. There's a horrible explosion of wanderlust among Christian young people between the ages of 17 and 25 today. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about no fervency. And no passion to do anything, especially for the Lord. Graduates, don't get caught up in that. Ask God, God, give me a stirring of my soul. Lord, you're worthy that I don't waste any amount of time in my life, that I give my days and my hours and my weeks and my months to you, that I serve you with all of my heart. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. A lot of young people with no passion about anything. We call it apathy today. But coming out of a Bible college that has trained you and out of a Christian school that has trained you to love God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, make sure that you understand as you leave today and go into another chapter of life that he's worthy of your fervency. May I say this? He's worthy of the forfeit of your will. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he's worthy that you concede, that you waive any rights or claims that you make on your own life and your future. It means to abandon my plans because he is worthy. By the way, it doesn't mean to do that just because a preacher said it or because a parent's trying to tell you to do it. Most young people look at it only through that lens, and there's a resistance of somebody telling me what I should be doing. Could I change your lens this afternoon? Could I help you to see it from a different perspective? Forget looking at mom and dad and saying, why do you keep pushing me? Forget looking at your pastors and your preachers and saying, why do you keep pushing me? Would you look at this thought? He alone is worthy of that. I'll do it because he's worthy of that. He's worthy that I forfeit my will. And then lastly, the measure of your of Christ being worthy to you is he's worthy of your firsts. Your firsts. That is, he's worthy to have preeminence in your life. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Give God your early days. When me and my wife got married, we decided the best days of our life, our young days, when we can run, we're going to give them to serve God. Don't wait, graduates, to live your life that way. Give him your best days. Your best days are right now. Your best days are coming out of all kinds of training, and you've been equipped and you've been stirred and you've been pushed and stretched so that you can give God your all. Give God your all. He's worthy of having first place in your day. He's worthy of being sought first before seeking others or looking at what others do. The measure of Christ being worthy. May I say this as I close the message? You're worthy. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, 2,000 years ago, Jesus looked down at your soul. And that's every soul here this afternoon. I don't know what background you're from. I don't know everybody here. But Jesus looked down from heaven, where he was living in a perfect environment at the right-hand throne of God. And he left glory to come down in order to be despised and rejected of men, in order to suffer a gruesome death that none of us would have wanted to watch. You know why? Because you were worthy of it. He counted you worthy. And my friend, if he counted you worthy, then can I ask you a question today? Would you see that the Bible teaches that he alone is worthy? May I give you one last point in this conclusion? But can I tell you, you're unworthy? Wait, preacher, you just told me I'm worthy. Now you're telling me I'm unworthy. I am, because the Bible teaches it. John the Baptist, who Jesus said, there's not another Christian like this Christian. Here's what he said. Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. The centurion said of Jesus Christ, he said, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. You see, can I give you the key of counting him worthy? It's you counting yourself unworthy. I'll tell you why we're willing to give little to Christ in our lives. Because we consider ourselves worthy of rights. We consider ourselves worthy of people treating us fairly. We consider ourselves as better than someone else. But may I remind you in this afternoon's message, you and I are unworthy. And if you have that attitude and that view of God, you know what? It'll be easier for you to come to the conclusion and live by the forward title of this message, He Alone is Worthy. Young people, you're going to leave here today and the days will go faster than you know. The years will go faster than you know. Would you write on the table of your heart, Lord, if I get away from living and valuing you above everything else, then, Lord, please bring me back to the simple truth that you alone are worthy. May God help us to live out this truth.